Hello and welcome to another episode. It's Fallon and Mark here again. And today we are chatting all about fasting. Now, before you react to this unenthusiastically and, you know, start rolling your eyes or looking for the next podcast to listen to or start dozing off, I want you to do a couple things. I want you to pause, reflect on your emotions and your thoughts, and apply those foundational principles and respond instead. And if you do that, I bet you'll find that you're going to choose to keep on listening to today's episode. Do you see what I did there? Hopefully you did. I try to apply about, 2 to 3 other episodes worth of information to that. Did you catch that?
I noticed. Okay. That was pretty good though. Put it all together. Many different episodes.
Yeah.
In the intro. So good. Yeah, we are going to talk about fasting today.
Yeah.
But how does it tie into what we've been talking about? And you know, escaping moral adventure is all about getting unstuck in our lives and living a more purposeful and meaningful life. And what we've said is a path to this is spontaneous obedience, which means deciding what you're obedient to and then acting based on that. And so that means we have to determine what are our principles? What are we holding to be true? And then what are we using to guide our lives? And, you know, and we've talked about in the past, some of our principles are seeking God, knowing God, loving God, knowing His will, trying to figure out what His will is, and then using that in our lives.
Right.
And fasting can be a great tool to do that. And so we're going to, sometimes I think we'll talk about tools that we have, so to speak, that can help us on this journey. Fasting is definitely one of those tools.
I agree. We probably should say we're not, you know, experts on fasting in any regard, really. So, you know, especially like from a health perspective, make sure you talk to your doctor, whatever you need to do before starting any kind of fast, and just make sure you're going to be safe doing that. But okay, so moving on, I would say that we became interested in fasting probably a year or so ago after we read The Common Rule, which we have mentioned that book on here before, but it just sort of changed, I guess, our view on different things. And we thought fasting might be an appropriate topic for right now to talk about because it is Lent, that time leading up to Easter where many of us do fast from something for those 40 plus days, except on Sundays during that time leading up to Easter, kind of in preparation for Easter Sunday. We were talking earlier about this, Mark, and you said you didn't really have any experience with fasting up until this book. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost interesting looking back because I knew a lot about fasting just from being in the Bible and growing up in the Bible, so to speak, but we didn't really ever do it. Mm-hmm. And so my experience with it growing up was very limited. Of course, I knew what you were talking about, especially the Catholic Church for Lent and how that works, but I always saw that as sort of a I didn't know what that was all about, really. It felt like it was more, the people that I knew that did it, it felt like it was just more of, hey, something we do.
Right.
It's like a tradition almost.
Right. Yeah, and I did, that was my experience with it. I did grow up fasting during Lent, and I learned about it either in the church or in school, and I'm sure it was explained to me, the reasoning behind it, but at that time, it didn't sink in with me, and so I would fast without really knowing the purpose behind it. So I don't know that it was really, I mean, I don't recall it being impactful for me at that time. So now I'd like to think I'm older and wiser. I'm for sure older. The wiser part, that's still probably up for debate. But anyway, It takes on a different meaning, I feel, for me now than it did then. But
yeah, I mean, going from it's something you do because you were told or it was tradition to it's a useful tool, and I don't mean to downplay it by saying it's a useful tool, but it's a tool for you to be intentional in your life. So changes the perspective, I think,
for sure,
on fasting.
I agree.
Before we go, though,
right? Before, yeah.
Maybe we define it, define what it is.
Yeah, let's say what we mean by fasting.
I would say most people that think about fasting would say it's abstaining from food.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's if you did a poll, mm-hmm. you'd get most people say it's abstaining from food
for a certain length of time.
For some,
yeah. Not like forever.
But. Although I guess that would be a fast technique. So, but yes, for some length of time, okay. Between zero and forever.
Okay.
And that is fasting. So that is certainly fasting. But we can also fast from other things. And I think this might be a little bit newer to people, that you can fast from social media or alcohol or soda or certain type of food. Yeah, this is also part of the fast story, I would say, or from TV or from whatever, sweets, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've referenced this excellent website called Got Questions in the past, and there's a quote from them. It says, this is their definition of fasting. Anything given up temporarily in order to focus all our attention on God can be considered a fast. Yeah, so
that's good.
There's an important piece of that definition. Given up so that, or it says in order to, so that we can put all of our attention on God.
Right.
So it isn't to focus on the lack of food or other things. It's specifically to focus our attention on God and grow our relationship to Christ.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of taking our eyes off the things of this world, right? The temporal things and putting our eyes on the eternal things, which are of way more importance
than exactly.
anything here. Yeah, that's good. Okay. So we're going to go through four different things that we can learn from the Bible about fasting. And so one of the things is just simply that there are many instances in the Bible where people will fast. There's several accounts. And in fact, Jesus himself was one of those people that fasted. Yeah, he did it. Well, I know he did it leading up to his ministry, correct? That was the 40 days mm-hmm. in the wilderness when he was preparing for his ministry, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so the second thing is that, you know, the Bible actually doesn't command or require us to fast. It's never, you must fast. But this leads into the third point, is that the Bible does represent fasting as something that is helpful or beneficial or good to do. And we see that through the examples of the people in the Bible who did fast. And I just mentioned Jesus fasted. It says he fasted and prayed as preparation for his ministry. We also see that Nehemiah fasted and prayed to show grief. Paul and Barnabas, they fasted before and prayed before turning the elders over to the Lord to do his work. And we see that Anna fasted and prayed as a form of worship. So I don't think it's coincidental that fasting often goes with prayer, you know, and we'll kind of talk about prayer and fasting later. But it was just interesting to me that all of those examples, I had prayer along with fasting.
Yeah. And you said that it isn't a command per se, but that's almost that's subtle, because like you said, it is clearly expected that people fast, like you said.
Well, yeah. And that's the fourth point.
Okay.
So the fourth thing is that it does seem that it's expected that we will fast, because out of Jesus's own mouth in Matthew, it's Matthew 6:16-17, he says, and when you fast. So he's assuming that it's something we're going to do. It's not if you fast, it's and when you fast. And then he tells us what that should look like when we do that, which I think is very important as well. So, and when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face, right? Look like you normally do. Look put together. Then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. And I think that's so important, because from a biblical standpoint, the purpose of fasting is not to, show off or seem... Nobody else needs to know, is basically what this is saying, right? No one else should be able to tell that you are fasting. It's only for the Lord, and for Him to see, really.
Yeah.
And your reward's going to come from Him. Yeah. The rewards from here aren't important, or from people here aren't important.
You know, something that sticks out to me in this particular scripture, and maybe we don't go into depth now on it, but... this concept of if you do it because you want people in this world to see it, that is the only reward you will get, mm-hmm. is a theme that we'll see in other areas.
That's very true.
And yeah, I think we should go into that sometime, because it's pretty interesting. And in fact, Jesus... and definitely in the New Testament, this happens quite a bit, where you'll hear this. That's the only reward you'll get if you're mm-hmm. really just trying to get the approval of men. That's how it typically would be phrased.
Yeah.
So anyway, good that point. Sticks out.
I like that.
Okay. How about some purposes for fasting?
Let's do it.
Well, you know, first of all, some people now, especially now, this is getting more and more popular, use fasting as a way to improve health in some way. So, and in fact, lots of studies are kind of coming out now showing that, in fact, fasting can be useful for health, but not the topic of today, right? In fact, back to the definition that we used, it's fast, you know, giving up something so that you can turn all of your attention to God. So that's what we'll focus on. So when we talk about purposes, that's what we'll talk about.
Yeah, sounds good. You want to start? Let me start.
Go ahead.
Okay. So number one is to strengthen prayer. So as you saw in the examples I listed earlier, fasting in all of those examples was done in conjunction with prayer. And, you know, if you're fasting, you're missing something that you're used to having, right? Whether it be food or whatever you're giving up, whatever you're fasting from, whether it be food or a type of food or social media or a certain TV show, whatever it is, you're not getting that thing that you're used to getting. So you become more aware of your lack of self-sufficiency, as well as your need for God. And so prayer goes right along with that, because it's about taking things to Jesus and trusting Him with that, right? Trusting the Lord through this lack, if you will. Also, just practically speaking, I mean, you have more time on your hands because you're not spending time eating those meals or scrolling through social media. So that time can be used in prayer as well.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And this, well, I was just going to say that's really important. And we're going to go into some tips later. So preview for what we're going to talk about in a minute or so, or a couple minutes. But that one you just mentioned is something you need to be intentional about if you are fasting, which is don't just eat that time up that you would be eating. Don't just take it up with something meaningless, so to speak.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Be intentional about that time. Okay. Not going to have lunch today. That's 30 minutes. That's 45 minutes. What can I do there? Mm-hmm. Is it a walk in prayer? Is it just get on your knees and pray? What mm-hmm. is it? You know, is it if you're fasting with others, mm-hmm. is it your time that you'll connect with others during this time and pray or whatever? So
I don't think we talk about this later for tips, but I think another thing to do would be to choose a scripture to pray or, you know, sit and meditate on and just pray that scripture over and over again, or read it over and over again as a way to, you know, strengthen your relationship with the Lord. And that's kind of strengthening prayer is strengthening your relationship with the Lord and, you know, just turning your eyes to Him, kind of like we said earlier, turning your eyes to Him instead of focusing on the things here on this earth. So,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and so the second one that we have here, second purpose, is to help us gain discernment. And I do think there's maybe much to be said here, almost in the spiritual realm of you're relying on God, you're becoming sort of empty, you're relying on God, you know, and think your relationship deepens. Therefore, it's probably, you can probably then say, oh, okay, I'm getting more connected with God, so therefore I'm more aligned with God's will.
Yeah.
Therefore, my discernment is better than when I'm not doing that. So it sort of follows from there. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's highly connected with the prayer one, because when you're praying to God, if you're spending that more time praying or your prayer is strengthened, I do think your discernment will be higher too, because you're in that prayer, you're in conversation with God, you're listening to Him. So definitely I think that's another one that is a result of fasting.
I agree. Okay, so another purpose. Another purpose. I forgot what the word was. For fasting would be to emulate Christ. And so we just mentioned earlier how He spent 40 days doing that, preparing for His ministry. And the 40 plus days leading up to Lent is a time where that's a way of identifying ourselves with Christ if we choose to fast during that time. And so we're kind of identifying ourselves with Him as we lead up to the celebration of His crucifixion and resurrection. And just, you know, denying ourselves something that's our favorite, right? Or something that we really enjoy is really a sign that we're walking with Him to the cross. And some of this information is coming from a Christianity Today article, which I will cite in the notes, the show notes. But I thought that was really good as a way to emulate Christ.
WWJD, right?
Yeah.
That might have been right. Overplayed, but we know Christ fasted. So
yeah.
100%. You can be sure that that was something He used in His time. You also know He prayed, just like earlier. So these are good things to emulate Christ. So great.
I like it.
Lastly, so the last one we're going to discuss for our purpose is a purpose of fasting is it reminds us of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this is almost just a very simple, when you're going through that day and you're sort of tempted to do whatever you're fasting from. So let's say it's food. You feel that hunger. Use that as a trigger to say, oh, God is the provider. You know, He makes provisions for me. Oh, it reminds me of Him and what He's done for us. So just that way to kind of give you, yeah, just that quick reminder to remember God, remember what He's done for you, remember why you're fasting, and use that time. And you had a quote in here from the Common Rule. Did you want to read that?
Yeah, it just says, regular fasting exposes who we really are, reminds us how broken the world is, and draws our eyes to how Jesus is redeeming all things. And I really liked that. I thought that was very fitting for the purpose, a purpose of fasting.
Yeah, there's that point there about exposes who we really are.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably lots that could be said about that.
Yeah. In the book, he kind of went on just to talk about himself a little bit, saying that when he fasts, I think he said the first thing he notices is how he gets irritable. That's the first sign the first thing that happens after he's been fasting for a while. And then he starts to realize how he's not very patient. He's actually pretty impatient you know, he is kind of, like he says, exposes who he really is when he's in a state of lack, right? It's kind of bringing forth his natural tendencies. And
yeah. You and I talk about this sometimes. For me, it's always makes me aware of, and this is hard to say because I don't want to say it, mm-hmm. but how central food is to our life. And
yeah, we like food.
And, you know, with kids, and I think many people would relate that are parents, you feel like 85% or 90% of your day is figuring out what you're going to eat, making it, putting it on the table, especially for your kids, cleaning up your food or, you know, whatever, and then doing it again. Like, that's just what you do all day long.
I feel like that for sure as a parent of littles. Yeah.
But then even for us individually, when we're, so when I am fasting, I use eating like almost as that tempo of my day, you know, like it goes, takes me to the next thing, the next thing. And so when I don't have it, it's that reminder of, yeah, who am I really? I'm like, I don't know. It's, I don't know.
Well, in the common rule, as he's talking about this, he said, when he's starting a fast and he wakes up the next morning and realizes like, oh, I can't eat today. The thought goes through his head, well, what's this day worth now anyway? And I had to chuckle at that because, I mean, it just shows you how much importance some of us place on food, you know. And
I'm reminded I have to tell this story, which kind of, it'll be quick, but just kind of talks about us. I remember a vacation or something you and I went on, and it was just a short one, but like the whole day all we did was eat. And it was like the end of the day we're going, what were we doing today, you know? Just I don't know. So yeah, this concept of putting making food too central in our life. What's this day even worth? Can relate.
Okay, so we'll just end with some tips for fasting. And most of these come from the common rule. So just so I don't forget to say this, we did a lot of researching, I would say, on fasting. So I will put all of that information, like I already said, in the show notes. I want to make sure you know where we get the information from. It's not just from our own brains. Most of this is, you know, we had a lot of help with.
So. Many will be thankful that it's not just from our own brains, so that's good.
Yes, you would be. That would not be good. Okay. All right. So some tips for fasting from the common rule. One, pick something to fast from, which, you know, that kind of seems like common sense. But as we were saying earlier, it doesn't have to be from food. It could be, but it could be from a type of food like meat or sugar, or it could be TV or a TV show or the internet or caffeine or alcohol, you know, etc. And social media, I think we mentioned earlier. So first, you need to pick something to fast from.
Yep. Number two.
So you'd want to pick when you're going to fast. So in the common rule, he recommends, or what he does, is sundown to sundown. So basically, that's kind of what we do. We eat supper, and then, you know, say on Monday we eat supper, and then we don't eat again until supper on Tuesday, for example. When we've done that in the past. But and that's kind of what he does. So, and he said he starts his on Thursday at sundown and then breaks his fast on Friday evening with a communal meal. So in his book, he talks about the importance of doing these habits, and fasting is one of them, with a community, with a group of people. And that there's just so, he mentions just so many different benefits of that. And I won't go into all of that, but I do recommend, the book is a really quick read. I mean, I read it, I think, in less than 2 weeks, you know. It was quick, but
I think you just gave a bonus tip. So bonus tip was do it with community.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We didn't even have that as a tip.
What if,
yeah, go ahead.
What if this seems kind of daunting.
Right. So you could just choose with skipping a meal, which
so this is yeah.
Yeah, which is another tip we kind of mentioned earlier. So if the idea of cutting out food, for example, altogether is a little bit too intimidating, you could start with just skipping one meal and work your way up from there.
Yeah. And I think the same goes for anything you want to fast with. And we've talked about in previous episodes before the concept of aim low, you know, a little bit of don't say I'm going to do a 7-day fast starting tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, don't do that. When Fallon said earlier, talk to your healthcare professional. Definitely don't do that.
Yes.
But, you know, do something. Find that thing that you can do, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that.
And then choose a day that makes sense for you. We already talked about that. So I don't know. Do you have any other tips that you wanted to add or not?
I think you mentioned it. The big one for me, I do like that we do this together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you and I. We've done it as a community with people too, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we did it perfectly. I think we could have done even better there and be more intentional. But one of the things I would say, and I don't think you should make this a blocker for not to do it, but if you're going to do it as a community, you need to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And we didn't do a great job of that before. We kind of did, hey, tomorrow, fast. And our friends were like, thanks.
Yeah, we didn't plan ahead with that.
But if you can plan ahead, I think, and then sketch out some things like, we're going to do this and we're going to have a call at noon and pray, or we're going to go for a walk together, something, right?
Yeah,
depends,
of
course, depends on scheduling and where you are and all that. But yeah, plan ahead.
Yeah, that's good. I just wanted to end with some more information from the Common Rule, so in the very back of the book, and you'll have to get the book to get all this information, but in the very back of the book, he talks about different variations to those 8 habits. And again, fasting is one of those habits he talks about. And so there's different sections. So variations for skeptics. So maybe he talks to those who maybe were following Jesus at one time, but have kind of fallen away, or maybe people who think Jesus was a good guy, but don't really, you know, believe he is who he says he was, for example. You know, they talk about different variations of these habits that you could do that would still work, you know, or still make sense for you. And so there's variations for skeptics, for parents, for entrepreneurs, for addicts, for those dealing with mental illness, and for the workplace. And so he kind of gives some variations there, which is, I thought was really helpful. Yeah,
that was good. You know, I'll end with this, that we aren't used to not having what we need. And that's true for many of us, although not for everyone. But we're used to having what we need. We have food, we have shelter, we have clothes. And one of the things I really like about fasting is you're learning to not have, quote unquote, what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's temporary. Like if you do food, it's temporary. But I'll just, again, reiterate that let it remind you of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you don't have everything that you, quote unquote, need, and you have to rely on God, there's something special about that, that you can say, God, thank you for being my provider. Thank you for having this world in your control. Thank you that I'm not on the throne and that you are.
Amen to that. Yeah.
And so I would just say, don't miss out if you do fast. And if you are one of those alternatives or whatever, or let's say you are only fasting, or if you've only fasted in the past because of health or whatever, don't miss out on, I could use this to deepen my faith, to seek God and know him, to know his will, to love him better, to thank him for what he's done for us.
Yeah. And so what I'm hearing you say which is the case with fasting, is it's actually not about you.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's a good way to end.
I agree.
So with that,
thank you so much for listening. Please let your family and friends know about this and give us your feedback.
Yep. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye.